Good morning and welcome everyone on this delightfully foggy morning. But we are all here together to be able to worship God together. Forgive my slight stumbling over things. Some of you that were keen-eyed will notice that this is the second start of the service. I came out ready to say hello and realised I didn't have a microphone. And rather than shouting, I went and got one. It's great to be able to see you all here for this, the third Sunday of Lent. The Lent groups are continuing on Mondays and Wednesdays. You are very welcome to come along, even if you haven't been to the previous ones. However, at the last week's one, we did tackle the answer of what is a Marken sandwich. And so if you would like to know, because you weren't there, speak to someone who was, and they can tell you. I'm not going to spoil it from up here, but it is genuinely very interesting, and people were going, oh, I've never noticed that before. So Mondays and Wednesdays, all very welcome to come along and join us as we continue exploring Mark's Gospel throughout the season of Lent. I've just been actually at the 8 o'clock service where Reverend Graham was preaching. And he spoke to me afterwards slightly concerned because he noticed that I didn't look at him during the sermon, and I seemed to be writing things down. He said, is this an unofficial performance review? To which I said, no, it's just that whenever I listen to a sermon, if I have a notebook to hand, I do tend to make notes. So here's evidence that I've done this. This is partly something my grandfather and my grandmother always did, and they found it very encouraging. And I just thought, I don't know that I've ever invited people to make notes during sermons. If you want to, of course you're welcome to. If you don't want to, of course you're welcome not to. But it's something that I find really helps me to listen to the key parts of the sermon. And I have to say, it was quite challenging for me this morning hearing a brilliant sermon from Graham that's not at all on the lines of what you're going to get from me this morning. So I hope that this morning's offering will be equally worthwhile. I do have one last notice, and perhaps the most important notice of the morning, which is to say that, as you'll all be aware, since last May, our benefice administrator, Gail Wellings, has been on long-term sick leave following a fall where she broke her hip. Her recovery has been complicated by ongoing issues with her prosthetic leg, and following a period of reflection, Gail has decided to retire. We are immensely grateful for everything that Gail has done for our benefice during her time as our administrator, and we pray that God will continue to bless and support her in her recovery. It is our hope that Gail will continue to flourish within our church community, and she will be taking the lead on coordinating pastoral care for those who are ill or housebound, but as a volunteer. Those of you who know Gail well will not be surprised when I say that she is one of the most positive and resilient people that I have ever met, and I know that she is grateful for the prayers and support that she has received from so many. It is my hope that when she is able to return to church, we shall be able to celebrate her service here together. As for what this means for the office, for the time being there will be no immediate change, as the PCCs and the Joint Standing Committee shall need to reflect on both the office and the administrative processes so that we can begin making plans to find someone to be a new administrator for the next chapter in the life of our churches. Thank you all for your patience and understanding, and I will keep you updated in the coming weeks and months. So with that said, welcome, thank you. Let's have enough of me talking. Let's remember that we're here in church to praise and worship God, and do so by standing to sing our first hymn, which is number 1229.
Thank you.
So we are all gathered in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated for a time of confession. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled against him. Let us then renounce our willfulness and ask for his mercy by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sins. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful God grant you pardon and forgiveness of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went up not to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of the life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning to read at verse 1. Come, all you are who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to the Lord, to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under a cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as an examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were destroyed, though killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our reading reminds us not to stand in our own strength, but to trust in God. So let us sing our next hymn as a prayer, that we might be shaped by God, through God, and in God, to be holy and righteous in his sight. Number 51, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. There were some present that day who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Graham's sermon this morning was very good, and as I now reflect on it, I think I made the wrong choice in passage, because Graham focused on Isaiah 55, and this morning we come to one of those difficult gospel passages that we would rather avoid. And there is a temptation in the back of my mind to repeat what Graham did. But there is something here that I cannot flinch away from. Because in this passage, we have something that is a human experience, even if we don't experience the exact thing in the passage. By which I mean it opens with this report from those who were with Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. A strange phrase, which, having dug around through the commentaries, seems to refer to an occasion when Pilate seems to have taken his soldiers and gone in, and taken men accused of rebellion who were in the temple making sacrifices, and killed them as they worshipped, as they were preparing to engage with their faith. For us to put this into context, we need to think of something more like a situation that happens nearly every Easter. Christians gathering in a church to worship their Lord and Saviour, the resurrection of the one who has conquered death and sin, only to find that someone comes in with a large backpack that then detonates. Only to find that on their walk towards church, there is gunfire coming from a hidden building or window that cuts people down as they try to get in. This is the kind of situation that these people are coming to Jesus and talking about, saying, "Why did God let this happen to them? They must have been bad people if God would have this kind of judgment upon them while they were trying to worship him." And this is a reality that I'm always mindful of, that although we have difficulties in the Church of England, although we find that it's difficult to not be as we once were and so on, we have brothers and sisters around the world where to go to church is a very courageous act. I remember when I was studying, I had a friend from Pakistan whose parents were pastors in a church, who for as long as he could remember, certainly since 9/11, would have to have armed guards on the door and make sure and check that each person going in was unarmed and unlikely to cause any harm or danger. Even so, their church was burnt down 3 times during his childhood. Puts it into context. And it makes the question that seems strange when we read it in this passage. What is it on about? The mingling of blood with sacrifices, and what did Pilate do? It brings it into a very real situation. And Jesus takes what they say and says it's not because they were any worse than anyone else in the city. Indeed, look at the tower that collapsed in Siloam that killed 15 people. Were they somehow worse? No. But nevertheless, I tell you, repent so that you will not be destroyed. This is a question that comes up all too often. And it's posed again in John chapter 9, but in a slightly different way. John chapter 9, we have a blind man, a man who has been blind since birth, and Jesus' disciples see him, and they go to him and say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It is not that this man has sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." And so he went and washed and came back seeing. This question of who sinned that this man might have been born blind is a question that my own parents have had to wrestle with. They have had people, when my brother and I were young, ask them, "So what did you do that they were born deaf?" And I think it's a very human response to feel that somehow, when bad things happen, especially bad things to those we love and have care and responsibility over, somehow it must be our fault. What did we do wrong? Why is God punishing us? I think that this is something we all wrestle with. Jesus says, "They have done nothing wrong. They are no worse than you or anyone else in Jerusalem. But through them, God can work, and we might see something of his power amongst them." In the case of the blind man, he receives his sight. I cannot tell you how many times throughout my life people have prayed over me that I might hear. I believe in healing. I have seen people and I know people who have miraculous stories of hearing, but it has not been my experience. People have said many prayers and had their hands on my ears and on my eyes, and they've anointed me with oil. And yet God has chosen to allow me to remain as I am, because I do believe that God could heal me if that was his will. But what he says to us is not, "I will heal everything and I will make everything okay," but that my power and my glory will be revealed through it. We have a God who sees suffering and difficulty, and rather than clicking his fingers and changing everything about us that we might completely forget all of the things that make us who we are, he says, "No, I will be with you in it." We see that in a strange way in our gospel passage, because they come with one example and Jesus knows of another. It suggests to me that he was grieved when he heard that these people had died. It affected him and he remembered it. It's not their fault, but there is a sense of God's presence within it. In our reading from 1 Corinthians, it has that famous verse, which is perhaps as helpful as it is unhelpful, depending on who uses it and how they say it. "I glanced down and looked at the wrong one, and now I can't see the right one." It says to effect that God will not tempt you beyond what your, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with a temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So many people in moments of personal difficulty have had someone say to them, "It's okay. God wouldn't give you this if you weren't strong enough for it." And in that moment, perhaps we might feel the weakest that we have ever felt. How am I supposed to endure this? Why would God give me this? But the follow-up is so important. But within the temptation and the testing, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And the way of escape, the way of endurance, is the way of Jesus Christ that led him to die for us upon the cross. There is no difficulty in our lives, no sin or shame that we might experience, that he does not come close to us in and come alongside us and direct us to share with him in his life, that we might see that he has shared with us in our suffering and our difficulty, and on the cross made once and for all the act of eternal liberation and salvation. That dying our death and embracing our mortality, embracing our sin and our difficulty, he enables us to embrace his life, his love, his joy, his eternal presence. It's this which enables him to say, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we think of the yoke on the oxen, we always think of them two by two, pulling together. We are not yoked and under burdens of strength and weight and pressure by ourselves, but always side by side with Jesus Christ. And so when we have these moments where we say, "Well, what wrong have I done that God must punish me in this way?" The answer from God is, "You have done nothing wrong. You are no worse than anybody else, but like anybody else, you must repent and experience my love and let me work within your life that I might come alongside you and reveal the Father's glory, not just to you, but to those whom you encounter." Whether you are afflicted with mental health, whether you are struggling with cancer or medical ailments, whether you are just feeling weakened by age or struggling with finances or anxiety, whatever your struggle is, it is not your fault. You are not cursed by God. But you have an opportunity to choose how you will respond. Will you invite God into the midst of it and let him sustain you and be an escape for you in and through and out of it? Will you use it as an opportunity to invite others to experience his love for themselves, to know the peace that is not from this world, that is not luxury and relaxation, it's not escape from or avoidance, but a calmness within the midst of a storm that threatens to upheave the very world? Yet when we remember that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven and that God is near to us when we are weak, that his glory shines when we need him most, we can have hope. Jesus follows this by talking about a withered fig tree. A fig tree that for 3 years has produced no fruit. And he says, "Let it be cut down because it is useless." But the counter argument is this: let it be dug around. Let it be filled with manure and fertilized and tended and looked after. And if it still doesn't produce fruit, then cut it down. But there's an implicit promise and hope that fruit will be produced. Perhaps you might feel that you have been in a season where you have not got much fruit. But this Lent, I encourage you to think about the Word of God, the promises of Jesus Christ. Dig it in. Fill it up. Be nurtured and encouraged in your faith. For when we invest in our faith with God and when we open ourselves to the possibility that our pain and our struggles are not too much for him, but that he is greater than even the fullness of all humanity together, greater than the fullness of all the sins that have ever been, greater than all the hardships and difficulties that we have talked about. When we hold our pain and suffering in that light, we will find that we can flourish and blossom and produce fruit. And so this morning I encourage you, continue in the faith, no matter how hard it might be in your life. For you are not under a curse, but you have been forgiven and redeemed by Jesus Christ, if you but put your faith and trust in him. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we enter into Isaiah's vision of what is to come. He says, come, buy without money, drink without limit, eat of the fullness of the presence of God. For God's ways are not your ways, and God's thoughts are not your thoughts. He is so much greater and better. And he has in store for you an eternal feast, a banquet in his presence, which will be so much greater than all the trials and temptations of this world. So let us receive communion and taste the physical reminders of the promises of God, that he will love us and be with us in the midst of our struggles, that as we embrace the way of the cross, he will embrace us with his eternal love and life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I invite you to stand and join with me in confessing our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So let us bring our hearts and our difficulties before our Lord in prayer.
Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Lord, we thank you that you invite each one of us to accept your offer of salvation by allowing us to hear and act on your call. Give us faith and discernment to reach out to you in the time we have, knowing that you will never let us fall. Be with us when we meet with adversity and despair threatens our resolve. Show us the way through, and keep us safe and strong. Following the example set by your Son, may we in turn bear fruit, glorifying you and sharing the love which comes from you living within us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, as we know that you suffered through your Son's death upon the cross, we lay before you the suffering in our world today, and pray for your guidance and comfort. Inspire the powerful to work together to overcome conflict and disaster, not for their own ends, but for the good of all. Help those who are unable to help themselves, and pour the transforming power of your love upon all who are in distress. We give thanks for those who are delivering medical and other aid in dangerous situations, and for those who are doing what they can to facilitate the plight of refugees. May we never grow indifferent to those who find themselves in desperate situations, and help us to be generous with our response to the needs of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your blessing on our own community, our homes, places of work, schools, and church. We thank you that we have an opportunity to share your invitation to the neighbours we meet on a daily basis, and ask that you will equip us with the words and actions which will help lead others to you. We bring before you those appointed to minister in our churches, and all who give of their time and talents within the benefice. Bless their work and give them the energy and vision they need to continue. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we turn our thoughts to those who are in need of your healing touch at this time, those who are in physical or mental pain, all who are vulnerable and in need. May they feel your presence now. We thank you for those on the road to recovery and ask that you continue to hold them close. In a moment of silence, we name anyone who is of special concern to us this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, Lord, we remember before you those loved ones who have died. We acknowledge the blessing of their lives among us and ask for your comfort when we are sad, helping us to take heart from the resurrection of your Son and the promise of everlasting life in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Be our strength in hours of weakness. In our wanderings, be our guide. Through endeavour, failure, danger, Father, be thou at our side. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you are willing, would you please stand? Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. We're going to sing our next hymn, which is number 50, Break Thou the Bread of Life. God of our journey, as we walk with you on your path of obedience, sustain us on our way and lead us to your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please sit or kneel to pray? The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, in all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And now we give you thanks because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. By his grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died and rose again. As we prepare to celebrate this Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy and join with saints and angels forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, the broken bread and wine outpoured, may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took a cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all of it Jesus did, in whom we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Living, rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy shall be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to the feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ. Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Together we say, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have been reflecting on some challenging elements this morning, but hopefully we shall be encouraged to hear what other reflections have been happening. So this morning, what have we been up to?
I said I'd do the talking this morning because Neve's a bit shy because it's only her today. We have been looking at bearing good fruit for God. And we thought about what does that really mean? We can't grow bananas off our arms, can we? So we sort of came up with the idea that it was about doing good things for other people, not focusing on ourselves. Like when the trees produce fruit, they are doing that for others, for us. And so we thought about doing good things for other people, showing other people what Jesus would do, so bearing witness in that way. And then Neve, I don't know if you knew, but she's a very good gymnast. So she taught me some moves this morning, and we did a little gym routine, which we're not going to show you now, I have to say, but because we're a bit shy. But we thought we might just do the last little end bit of it where we grow and bear fruit for God.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's great to see a bowl full of fruit. Perhaps this is a sign that we together are in church bearing fruit. We don't just have empty bowls, but there's many ways that we're sharing the goodness that we're doing, not just before God, but before our community. So let's give them a bit of a round of applause and say thank you. Sometimes life is difficult. We've acknowledged that this morning. And I've mentioned the difficulties that my parents have had coming to terms with my brother and I both being deaf, but not just deaf, but also having problems with our eyesight. And that's something that sometimes is quite a heavy thing to live with. But when your eyes are open to seeing what God is doing in your life each and every day, we do realize there's a lot to be thankful for. So we're going to sing our last hymn, not because everything is always good, but because it very much isn't. But in the midst of it, God is faithful and true and wonderful to each of us. So let us stand and sing our final hymn, number 147. Great is thy faithfulness. Is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let us hold on to that as we leave this place and go into all that our own lives contain. Let us also go with a blessing. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.